It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. In late August of last year, residents in neighborhoods around the capital of the Ivory Coast, Abidjan, woke up feeling nauseous and gasping for breath. Some were also vomiting and bleeding from their noses. Within a few days, at least 10 people had died. The actual number is unclear, and an estimated 75,000 had sought medical help. The cause? Hundreds of tons of toxic waste from Europe, including highly caustic chemicals that had been dumped illegally from the Probo Koala, an oil tanker owned by the Dutch company Trafigura. A cleanup began almost immediately, but three company officials were jailed in September and were held until earlier this month. That's when Trafigura paid the government of the Ivory Coast about $200 million, but accepted no liability for the incident. On the line with us is law professor Philippe Sands. He directs the Center on International Courts and Tribunals at the University College London. Hello, sir.
Hi, very nice to join you.
So this $200 million, how does that compare to the health crisis that erupted in Abidjan after the stumping?
Well, it's difficult to give a precise view on that because it seems like a very large sum of money. On the other hand, the very large volumes of hazardous waste that were left behind in Abidjan, over 400 tons on some accounts, obviously have been spread to a number of different sites and seem to have caused very significant health consequences. So it's important to note, on the terms of the agreement, neither side accepts any sort of liability for the consequences. So it's called, in legal terms, it's an ex gratia payment, and the hope of both sides is going to be that this is going to sort this out once and for all.
How does a settlement like this factor into the terms of the Basel Convention, which prevents one country from dumping toxic waste on another country?
The convention seems to have been violated, and the convention establishes very strict rules on notification, on prior agreement, when hazardous waste is taken from one country to another country. And here, obviously, something went seriously wrong. But looking on the bright side, it's pretty clear that if the Basel Convention hadn't been in place, there would not have been a settlement of this kind. Now, that is not to say the rules under the Basel Convention are adequate, and there's been a call as a result of this incident and other incidents for the tightening up of the rules to make them even stricter.
Cote d'Ivoire is a divided country right now, at war with itself. How well do you think the government's going to be able to handle these funds?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, how well is any government able to handle the sharing of large funds in natural or other types of disasters such as this? I mean, you know, we've seen in the United States with Katrina, there's a terrible problem of getting monies around. We've seen in the United Kingdom, my own country, situations where bombings have happened in London and questions come up of compensation and who gets what. These are very difficult issues. And I think for a government like the Côte d'Ivoire, which finds itself, as you say, deeply divided at the moment, within its government as well, there are going to be huge pressures to divert some of the funds elsewhere, to use them for particular ways. In the Côte d'Ivoire, as for any country, $200 million is a pretty large sum of money, and it will be very important to make sure, firstly, that the money goes where it should go, and secondly, that the costs of administering that fund don't eat up a significant chunk to avoid them going where they ought to go.
How much of a deterrent is this settlement for another company that might be thinking about it?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's an important question. I mean, Trafigura must have taken the view that paying $198 million or thereabouts was a price worth paying to get rid of this issue. What that means for other companies is not clear, but it will certainly concentrate companies' minds that if they violate the rules, if they're caught, and if they're subject to claims such as this, they're not going to get away scot-free. Others will say that this was a relatively small sum of money, given what its liabilities could have been under various court proceedings, and that may yet turn out to be the case. But for the time being, I think that companies that are thinking of transporting waste around the world will think a little bit more carefully about evading their responsibilities under international conventions, and $200 million is $200 million.
I understand that eventually this material was taken to France, where it was disposed of properly. Why didn't it stay in Europe to begin with?
Well, that is a very powerful question. There is an emerging principle of international law called the principle of proximity. And the principle of proximity says hazardous material should be disposed of in the place in which it is produced. And on that principle, it ought to have been disposed of where it was generated in the first place.
Philippe Sands is a law professor and director of the Centre on International Courts and Tribunals at University College in London. Thank you so much, sir.
Delighted to join you.
We're online at loe.org, where you can hear the program anytime. And we're always eager to hear your thoughts. You can reach us at comments at loe.org. Once again, comments at loe.org. Or call our listener line at 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144.